Blog Talk Radio. This is your own beloved Madam Perry. Welcome you to Madam Perry Salon, also known as JP, J Mod, Jennifer Perry, the goddess, and the goddess of Corgi Manor. I am here to bring you the finest of the finest, the return of the unusual suspects to Madam Perry Salon, because everybody loves when I have my beloved wacky gang of writers, musicians, artists, thought leaders in general, unsocial reprobates, to discuss the issues of the day and plug their latest works here in Madam Perry Salon. And I've got a few on the line now. Some are going to be hopping in and out because they didn't get their court date postponed for the show. So anyway, right now, I want to who do I want to introduce first? And I'm so glad you're here. And this show is just pretty much a party. Sort of like like when they had the whole panel full on the Mike Douglas show or something, or Dick Cavett. So I wanted to talk to you about a gal I want to introduce first of all. She's an editor and author. She's contributed to numerous anthologies through the years and edited her first, Tales from the Frontline, which benefits TADSAW, a charity which provides service dogs to wounded warriors. And that's a subject dear to my heart. For her first novel, Fanny and Dice, will be available through Wolf Singer Publications in October 2015. And I'm going to go ahead and be Miss Budinsky, Miss Nosy O'Donnell, and tell you I'm going to throw you a party right here on the air for that. Okay, Rebecca?
Excellent.
Rebecca Kyle. And I'm so glad I read the whole thing through about the benefit, because otherwise I thought, Tales from the Front Lines, Fanny and Dice. Oh, my God. She writes swinger porn. How cute. I don't care.
Well, you know, come to think of it, I am kind of title impaired, so, you know, I better watch out.
Kyle, let me tell you, a girl's got to turn a buck. And, you know, recently I've been trying for the last few years to get a job teaching English in South Korea. And I've been through so many checks, background checks, county, state, U.S., no, city, county, state, U.S., national. I have been fingerprinted 5 times. I've had checks double because my record is so clean. It's like I'd never existed. Like, just
whoa.
Never existed. And what the hell good has it done me? Then they turned me down and thought I was, oh, we think you're too old. So you're too old to work with children. Well, what kind of savages are these? You know, they look so cute in the pictures. Anyway, welcome, Becky Kyle, and we're going to have fun with you, and glad you laid up you've got your foot laid up, I know, from your latest mixed martial art bout, but we'll talk about that later on. Also on the line, one of my most dearly beloved friends. I have to vie with so many other women, as well as men, for his attention, Kate Bush being among the number one. My favorite author, poet, who writes about Paris, London, and makes me laugh till I cry like nobody else, Mr. Colin Kelly. Welcome, Colin Kelly.
I have no idea who you are. No, I'm kidding. Hi. What am I doing here?
I hijacked
into the show.
You know, the audience only gets the audio, but you can see that I have taken off all my clothes for the show because my air conditioner broke, so that's why you don't recognize me.
Yes, well. As Valerie Cherish would say, we don't need to see that.
and two, as pale as I am with my Irish whatever background, I'm so pale that probably my smooth and creamy white skin has blinded you. But enough about the titillating part. Also,
titillating.
And a titter ran to the audience. And boy, were his arms tired. So there was a... you know, you guys know I adore. In fact, one of my clients completely credits or blames me with shifting him to this genre, to the genre of steampunk in his work, Mr. Jim Musgrave. And I have on here tonight one of the superstars of steampunk music. Well, actually, this particular genre is called chap hop, and it's Poplock Holmes. Not Sherlock Holmes, that wimpy, whiny, foppish little fellow. No offense, Colin, but Poplock Holmes. Welcome, Poplock.
Greetings and salutations, my dear friends, my dear family, fellow tribe members that I recently stumbled into this time vessel knowing. Oh, I've known all of you for this moment, exactly one moment. I love you all.
Well, that doesn't mean we're going to give you any money, okay, or do anything.
Thanks, but not a penny, too.
Although I just bought 4 of your songs on Amazon, but still, yes, Poplock Holmes, he says, you say, you claim your music is perfect mood music for hunting yeti, taming wild beast, and drinking tea while being fun for the whole steampunk damn family with his quirky Victorian-flavored hip-hop known as chap hop. So, and we're going to play a song later of yours, too. Now, I've got 2 people who just snuck in the back door past security, and I didn't even hang out a second. Let me get them frisked first before we announce.
Your presence has been detected and recorded. Thank you.
Okay, you guys have been cleared. Okay, who is in the 740 area code?
Oh, I just got shocked.
this is DJ Darkfang.
You know, you could kill somebody with that thing.
And we have. I used to have a lot of enemies. Not anymore.
I'm Robert. Oh. And I'm dressed appropriately, I think.
Robert, is that Robert Leland Taylor?
Yes, yes.
Robert Leland Taylor, all the way here from the aptly named Zanesville, Ohio. Welcome, Robert.
I didn't know this was going to be a nude session. I'm wearing a gray T-shirt and jeans.
Nobody ever reads me. Nobody ever reads the information I've seen since, so
okay.
I figured
all right.
You just, if you don't want to look,
I have no idea who they belong to, any, by the way.
Okay, good. And
that truck is, I'm on top of a truck going through a tunnel right now, if you're wondering what that noise is.
Well, we usually prefer to, you know, to place bets on that, but okay. And
okay.
Coming up, but Robert, I want to talk to you, too, you know, because, you know, I love your books. I've read Sunday Afternoon Stroll Through the Ant Farm and Holy Toledo and the Virgin Shirley, so we'll talk more about those later. I love your books, and I just love your funniness. And who is coming in from Planet 520?
Who the hell do you think it is? Can you hear me? Am I coming through? Is this microphone working?
I can hear you. Anybody recognize this person yet? DJ, anybody?
Well,
DJ,
I know two of y'all better recognize me. If you don't, I'm going to be really upset, and you're going to make a grown man cry.
James.
Oh, I live for that.
hey,
DJ,
hello to the people I don't know. Hello, Poplock. I better be seeing you in March.
Okay.
Hopefully so.
You got anything else to say? I mean, I'm trying to give you an introduction, and you come in with a boatload of attitude toward it. Just go ahead. I hope you brought a towel. Just take off your clothes and sit down because it's hot in here. So.
You can't travel through the universe without a towel.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Are you through the universe or nudist camp, either one, you've got to have a towel.
I don't know. I've never had much luck with keeping a towel at a nudist camp, so they always tend to disappear. I mean,
really? Why was that? Did you lose them in one of the towel snap competitions?
No, usually I don't know what it is, but for some reason I get into a nudist camp and my hands just lose all ability to grip anything. So, you know, I just boom.
That is unfortunate.
Well,
that
sounds
like user error.
There's plenty of things to hold on to.
User error?
Run, children, run.
Which, funny, you know, some of you may have noticed on Facebook that I have just developed a deep obsession with Pernell Roberts, and I've been digging up all kinds of stuff on him. And one was an article about his home. You know, they didn't wear clothes in his house. Not the one he grew up in Waycross, Georgia, but in, you know, California. So if you came in, you weren't required to be nude. But he said everybody usually dropped off their clothes after being there for a while. Pernell, Adam Cartwright, I'd like to save a horse and ride that cowboy. But.
Well, you're really dating yourself there, Jennifer.
Could you pick anyone more obscure?
That's how I know about it. Don't talk to me.
Roll 'em. Keep those doggies rolling.
Rawhide.
See, now he said something, okay? You don't see, I don't think he's supposed to say rawhide.
Where is your woman?
What about Dan Blocker? Did you have a thing for Dan Blocker too?
No. Although he's like a nice guy. Super nice guy.
I was just wondering.
He went to California to get a master's in education because he wanted to teach children. He was a school teacher, so he went there to get his master's and then picked up some acting jobs while he was pursuing his master's at UCLA. That's Dan
Blocker. He died very young, too, didn't he?
Yes,
he was very young when he died. I think he was in his early 40s, I believe.
Yeah.
Not very old at all.
Yeah. And if you see in the movie, I think it's Tony Roma with Frank Sinatra. Frank has him locked in this room, and he goes in to get him, and he's watching Bonanza. You know, you hear the show on. But, okay, so anyway, let's get to some talk about you people, because I want the entire listening audience to know what kind of people with whom I hang. I didn't want to end with the preparation.
Fair warning.
Yes.
Yes. Make sure your children have left the room now.
Maybe. Well, I picked this down as a PG-13 on the visibility when I set up when I reserved the time in the studio, and maybe my reputation will get down enough for me to be able to get that plum teaching job in South Korea. So, Becky, what I want to know about is when you talked about your book that benefits TADSAW, a charity which provides service dogs to wounded warriors. What does TADSAW stand for, please?
Train a Dog, Save a Warrior.
Oh,
it's a group out of Texas that trains a family pet or a shelter dog or a donated dog to be a PTSD therapy companion for wounded warriors or wounded emergency personnel. You know, they start generally, if there's a family pet, they'll try to see if the pet will work. If not, they have they scour the shelters to try to find amenable dogs for that as well. And occasionally they'll get donations from a breeder or something like that. But the service dogs that they're using can literally take a PTSD patient and bring them back out into the world. They've estimated that it reduces their medication needs in half and literally changes people's lives.
Ooh, impressive. And I certainly believe that.
Yeah. It's a really nice thing. I didn't know about your group. We've got a group out here in Arizona like that, and I've actually got a friend of mine who went through them, and it has, like you said, I've noticed a drastic improvement in him, and he's actually been able to come out and start enjoying things with the rest of us again, which has been really nice.
Oh,
yeah, there's a lot of soldiers and people like that that have literally found themselves barricading themselves into their homes and even going as deep as going into a closet just to find safety and security. And a dog pulls them out of that a lot of the time because they're focusing on the animal, and the animal's, you know, giving them courage and confidence to keep going.
Sounds like a really great cause.
It is.
And, you know, I think most of us have probably seen some kind of, have seen things on television and such about dogs used for people who have seizures, you know, to warn them of a seizure or diabetes or something like that. And thing two, from what I also hear, people, especially in the our recent wounded warriors come back home, have gone through stuff that, or have after effects and shocks that bring a whole new set of difficult to work with or solve or ameliorate because of, I'd go into the scientific stuff, but then we'd be talking about blood and everything that just bring the party down. But, you know, just the danger, as well as what they've seen and gone through, and just the nerve. And yet then I also know that not only can the dogs be trained, I've seen some where maybe the soldier is in a wheelchair, they can load their laundry for them and take it out, you know, which I make my dog watch that one over and over and over. you know, we train to bring them things, and then they become such close companions. I've got a dog who is was a rescue that's just a total empath. He can sense anyone having a bad time anywhere, or just very deep emotional strain, or physical illness like cancer, and he's going to go straight to them and snuggle up to them the best he can. So I think it's a worthwhile project. And what is yours? The one out in Arizona you were talking about, James?
I don't know the name of it. I have no clue what the name of it was. I haven't even, you know, I didn't ask him. I know he mentioned it at one point, but this was probably, God, close to 7 months ago now, 8 months ago they started. Mm-hmm. So my memory is horrible.
All right. It's hot out there, too. I know. Also, what about your book, Fanny and Dice? It's going to be out in October. Should we all guess what that's about? Or?
Oh, you want to guess?
No, not me, not with this crowd. But anyone else is welcome to take a bite.
Hold on, what was it called?
Fanny and Dice. I'll give you a hint. Persephone and Eurydice climb up out of hell and discover themselves in the Wild West. The very weird Wild West, actually.
Oh, fun. I need to find these books.
Wolf Singer Publications is where you look. There's the Tad Saw anthology will be there, and Fanny and Dice will be up for pre-release probably in the next few weeks as well.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I need new reading material. Just to give you an idea of my current reading, I am rereading the Wheel of Time series for about the 27th time.
I love Robert Jordan.
But you don't have a library up there, do you think?
Well, we have the library. Unfortunately, most of them are Amber's books, and her reading and my reading are like complete opposite ends of the spectrum for the most part. So.
Okay. All right. And we'll be having a party here. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, so I've just been rereading all mine because I cannot get into hers. I fall asleep.
All right. Well, now let's see. Okay. Well, we've got a lot of books represented here tonight, and there are some from Colin Kelly. And Colin's first several books were poetry, and then he began his Venus trilogy, starting with Conquering Venus, then Remain in Light, and Leaving Paris. Colin, you're on.
Oh, yes. Yeah, Leaving Paris, third book, and it will be out next year.
And it's about?
I should have gotten my elevator pitch ready. I wasn't ready with my elevator pitch or whatever they're calling it these days when you're trying to sell it.
Have you read them, Amanda? I mean, Becky?
No, I haven't yet.
It's about a young man named Martin who is a young American writer, and he goes to Paris, and he meets an older Parisian widow, and they become embroiled in a murder mystery that stretches back to the 60s during the Paris riots in 1968.
Ooh.
And yeah. that's kind of the running thread through all three books. So it's a little literary fiction. It's a little thriller. It's a little.
It's got a little slice of paranormal in there.
A little paranormal. I call it more magical realism than paranormal, but yeah, I mean, a lot of people, you know, I like all kinds of books. I was influenced by all kinds of different kinds of writers, from Ray Bradbury to Margaret Atwood to Isabel Allende. So I just kind of threw everything in that I loved, you know, and genre be damned. So
and the student riots in Paris and the 60s. Now, I really didn't know much about that until I started reading your book, and then I dig a little further. So why did you choose that era and that particular phenomenon going on or situation to make
I love Paris. That's the first thing, and I've always been fascinated by, you know, France and Paris and the politics there. And I was doing some research about, you know, because the character of Irene, who's the Parisian widow, she would have been, you know, a young woman in 1968. And so I just wanted to see, you know, where I could historically place her. And then I started doing all this research and then realized that, oh, there's a whole, you know, subplot, or there's a whole plot here, you know, that kind of connects to what's happening in France now and around the world. So, you know, I just got kind of informed the whole thing. And so for each book, there is some flashback to, you know, in some large part, there's some flashback to that year and that spring, 68 in Paris, with all the activity going on. So, yeah, it's been, that was one of my favorite parts of writing this trilogy, is doing the research and finding out all these little intriguing, interesting things about the students and the teachers and the workers and who was involved and how they organized. And, it's really interesting.
And the books have really, really, really gained in popularity. And so there's a lot of people waiting for this last part of the trilogy to come out. But I remember, since I've known you so long, I remember when you first were shopping Conquering Venus. And you, I believe you had, was it an agent or a publisher ready to sign? And then, just as soon as they were ready to go, and I know this is not the exact story, but this is close, then there was the 9/11 tragedy and the bomb. And then they, because of the bomb, there were bombings in this book as well that happened.
Right.
They just all freaked out
the day that my agent in 2001, the first day she sent Conquering Venus out, and one of the set pieces of Conquering Venus is a terrorist attack on the Paris Metro. So the day that she sent the manuscript out to all of the big six in New York was September 11th, 2001.
Oh, man.
Ouch.
So, and it was, she said, probably the worst bad timing in history. I'm like, yeah, no kidding. And, but yeah, no one would touch it. It came back, you know, as soon as they got to the synopsis where it said a terrorist attack on the Paris Metro, they're like, no, thank you. Been living that. Don't need that. Thank you. And, you know, so, yeah, it took, that was 2001, and then Conquering Venus finally came out in 2008. So it took a while to get it out there.
And it is a delicious read. And it's just beautiful. So get it. Write that down, James. Conquering Venus.
Oh, I can remember some things. When I'm thinking about books or movies I need to read or see, I do remember that.
Okay.
I'm just not a good detail person.
Oh, what? I see how it is. Okay. Wasn't meant to offend.
No. No offense. Believe me.
Okay. And speaking of offense, And I still wish not to offend, because I'm a proper Southern gal, but I have to bring up my friend Robert Leland Taylor. For one thing, because I love his work too. He's very, to me, he's very Vonnegut-esque in his writings. Holly Toledo and the Virgin Shirley, Sunday afternoon stroll through the ant farm. Who's playing with their mic or with themselves or whatever? What's going on?
I think I just shifted the phone. Sorry about that.
Okay.
Very likely story.
Yeah.
Oh, that wasn't me. That one wasn't me. That was a lightning strike.
Oh, okay. Well, my friend, what's your name again? Taylor, Robert Leland Taylor.
Yes,
my dear
Taylor.
Friend. Yeah.
The guy that offends you.
I love your witticism, your dry, surprising wit on Twitter and on Facebook. So what I wanted to ask you is, are you ready?
I'm ready. Shoot it. Shoot.
Are you ready for a question?
No. Yes, I'm just kidding.
Okay.
Go right ahead.
All right. Well, first of all, I'm just going to be blunt with you because I know you pretty well, too, by now. Taylor, how are your book sales?
Oh, not so good. I haven't sold a copy in over 3 weeks, but thanks for asking.
Ooh, that's ouch, that's harsh. Well, what are you doing to promote it?
Nothing, not a damn thing.
Oh. Well, then what are your plans?
Well, I've pretty much written off suicide at this point. I think what I could do is pretend that it's brand new, you know, just completed, and get the word out all over again. I mean, it's a good book, and I really want more people to see it. I like it. I mean, well, maybe I found a few parts objectionable, but, you know, that didn't stop me from reading it almost all the way through. So.
Oh, no, really? Okay. Well, because after
I'm
all,
just gonna,
you
know,
no.
I'm just going to pick myself up and, you know, just dust myself off and get right back into the game.
Well,
you know, it's during a book launch, you know, you always get a nice boost from, you know, your family and your friends who will buy a copy because, well, they have to, mostly to express their, you know, their love and support. But when you exhaust those groups, you'll need to build up a fan base from total strangers, which is, you know, it's pretty difficult to do, especially if you're like me, you know, bordering on straitjacket agoraphobia, you know. But, you know, you have to move out of your comfort zone sometimes to chase the sales, which, you know, I suspect is something that most writers don't like to do.
No, it's difficult. And, you know, even as a book publicist, I feel like I feel like I just have to take each person, you know, by the hand and kind of baby walk them through and talk them off the ledge and explain to them, no, it's going to happen. It's not going to be like everything gets bigger and bigger. You're going to have some. And as I tell them, it happens to everybody. It doesn't matter. Big name people have shown up to places and have two people there at a book signing and they just came in to get out of the rain. So it happens to everyone if you don't get through it, you won't know how to handle it. So, and also, Robert, you're a painter and a fabulous painter. Your paintings so much, they're the kind of paintings that have so much emotion and soul in them. I love the color. I love your deep colors, but the colors somehow have a little bit of even like a mystery, like those old lead paints that people used to use. They have that kind of depth, a little bit of a history, mystery to them, and emotion, I love your paintings. How long have you painted?
Maybe that's my problem. Maybe I spread myself too thin, you know. I go through 5 or 6 years as a playwright, and then I go back to painting, then I go back to being a novelist. Maybe, you know, I should exercise a singleness of purpose. maybe you can do all three. I don't know.
I think you can.
Maybe
and
your
I
paint's
wish
radioactive.
Even if you're not successful, if it's something that you enjoy, you know, you can always say, well, I died trying.
Oh,
and, you know,
yeah.
Always leave, you know, a little pile of work, you know, for your ancestors to see.
I don't know. Last night I was watching a video on YouTube. It was an interview with one of my favorite comedians over in England, Noel Fielding. and they interviewed him in a studio. He has all these paintings there, and I did not realize that all the ones that I saw that were his. So he started saying, well, you know, I get to make comedy, I get to do my paintings, or does work, so I think you can think about it. I wish you would put more of your paintings on Facebook. I really do.
Well, as a matter of fact, I'm going to start putting them on Facebook for sale. You know, I just sold one the other day, and I have another one that I'm going to post in a couple of days. So that's something I think I'll start doing. I think what I originally did the paintings for was a yard sale coming up. And I said, well, we'll have a little, you know, in addition to the junk area, we'll have a little artistic section here, and we'll put a few paintings out there and see what happens. Usually at a yard sale, nobody wants to pay, you know, a decent price for a painting. But I did a couple of quickies, and I thought maybe I'd ask, you know, $20, $30 for them. And then, you know, that really got me back into the painting urge, and then just sold one for $150, which is great for me, you know.
Wow.
So I'm going to get back into it, I think, and I think I will post them on Facebook.
Good. Good. I want to see them there. Maybe you can give a copy of Holy Toledo and the Virgin Shirley with the painting.
Yeah, that might be an idea. Grant Jerkins suggested that I put some of my plays on Kindle and, you know, see what happens there. They've all been produced, but none have been published. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that might be a good route to go there.
Yeah, I think it may.
All kinds of ideas. It just takes, you know, you just have to get up and get at it, start promoting yourself and your plays and all that. You just have to get out of your slump and go for it.
Yes, you do. And you know what? You've got one of my greatest panels of creative minds here right now. So if they can't come up with anything for you, I'd be very surprised. I think that you've got all these geniuses here. Isn't that right, folks? Now.
Yeah. I'm honored to be included among this, you know, this group of talented people. It's a real pleasure for me.
Well, thank you. It is for us, too. And if they could read some of the things you put on Twitter and Facebook, though, I don't know how many of you here follow Robert. I know, well, Grant Jerkins, but he hasn't shown up yet. I don't know if he will or not. But Rita's his most non sequitur stuff. It's almost like a British humor, real dry. So let's go to, I think it's time for a little music, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Sure, you got to play for us?
Yeah, oh, no. I'm sorry, I got a phone message here from my assistant. Hold on just a second. Do you mind if I check my phone message, guys? Anybody?
Go for it.
Okay, thank you.
Hi, it's me. We're on the runway in Prague, ready to board. I just wanted to let you know that things may be arriving a bit earlier than scheduled, so heads up. I'm on it. Bye.
She's on it.
Okay, Jules is in Prague. She's on it. I don't know what she's on, but Jules is on it, and she's in Prague. I thought she was supposed to be in the office yesterday in Atlanta, but whatever. Okay. All right. So, Potluck Holmes, welcome to Madame Perry's Salon. Looks kind of like Jeannie's bottle in here, doesn't it?
Oh, just a little tiny bit. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. So we are glad to have, thanks to James, to have such a popular, famous steampunk artist here. Thank you so much for taking time to be with us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Just doing what I do and hopefully spreading a good cheer along the way.
Yeah, just sitting around polishing your goggles like James.
Exactly.
Hey, now.
Polishing your goggles.
There's a double entendre in there somewhere.
Well, don't even do it all. You've got better ones than I do, Becky. Jump right in where you feel like it. Get in where you feel like it. Okay. And you've got a pretty busy schedule, too, I've noticed, Mr. Poplock Homes. I love your name. You've been busy all year, and I think that it's this weekend you've got Steam Stock on Sunday.
No, that was last year. They're not doing that one again, unfortunately. I've got a little bit of a lull now until around October, I think it is. I'm doing an event down with a group down in San Diego, and then my cycle starts over like in January again. The real big carnival news on my roster is we're starting kind of a traveling carnival. It's going to hit the old train town. It's going to start in March. So look forward to hearing the news around that. It's going to start with the Iron Horse Carnival, and then we'll see where it goes from there, how far we can take it.
Oh, we like that.
Yeah.
Steampunk train music, possibly.
Oh,
yeah,
Becky's in Knoxville. You could take some stuff. You could put her on there, and I'm halfway between. I'm between Asheville and Atlanta, so that gives you two. We'll make sandwiches for them, won't we, Becky?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Sandwiches and absinthe. Got to have some absinthe or some gin. Need some kind of a liquor to keep us going too. So take both.
Damn, Skippy will have your absinthe. You better believe it.
Oh yeah.
Liquor, yeah. Count me in.
Count me in, Big Daddy. Got some liquor. And our friend David Hurley is listening out there. He's lurking out there in the ether, so we may have some wisecracks from him later, I hope. Now, you were just at Comic-Con, weren't you?
Again, that was, I think, last year's news. This year, I ended up working in my day job through Comic-Con. I was supposed to attend it, and I was going to be on a panel there. And that's literally at the last minute got called to shoot some video up in Las Vegas. The most recent news tour-wise would be playing with Baron Von Velveteen and the Velveteen Band. I've got a chance to hear them, but played with them at the Bombay Grill recently.
I want to see them live. I've been playing them a lot lately and talking with the Baron, and I've got to see them live. Video and whatnot just doesn't do it justice, I don't think. Kind of like yours.
Yeah, they are.
I can't watch videos of you and get into it as much as I can when I'm actually watching you live. So
it's definitely an experience and like energy, and definitely with the Velveteen Band, they have theatrics as number one. It's kind of like, nothing like the Rocky Horror Picture Show, but just like the Rocky Horror Picture Show in that it's a complete theatrical experience. It's not just something that you sit and watch and be entertained by, you know.
And what was this place you said, the Bombay Palace?
The Bombay Grill.
Grill. Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah.
And where is that?
In Ventura.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
And do you know our friend Veronique Chevalier?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she's been on the show a few weeks ago. What's so funny about that? She was on a few weeks ago. And actually, James called.
I was on with you, too.
The guest was it was Jasper Bark and Veronique Chevalier and James. Well, your album is called Run DM Steam.
That's correct.
And could we play? Does everybody want to hear a song?
Sure.
Yes. Sure.
Okay.
Just wind up your record player.
Yeah,
oh boy,
yeah. I was just waiting for a little holler. Look, I'm sweating like a whore in church, and I've got some enthusiasm. So come on and help me out here. All right.
I'm going to go all Dr. Demento on you. The audience may not have any idea what we're talking about there.
I don't know.
It all started with Dr. Demento.
Yes, it is.
God love him. Let's wind up your radios. Dimensions right. And Dementites.
I'm trying. From Rundy and Steam, the exquisite, steamy Poplock Homes with Pass the Tea.
Does take a moment to dock an airship. I'm not sure if you've got much experience with that sort of thing, but I'm here now, and I'm here to do a slight demonstration for you in the gentlemanly manner of chop-ops. You ever heard of chop-ops? Well, let me show you.
They call me Pop-Lock Holmes, and I don't eat Watson. I've got some fat beats. By Joel, I'll drop some beats so fast they sunk the Titanic. I didn't panic. I just swam the Atlantic, and it didn't take me 80 days to make it. I'm the true gentleman. All you other chaps, I'm faking it. Chaps, I see drinking a little great tea. I think you're drinking Lipton, and your pipe is empty. When I stroll to the mic, fake gentleman coward, Pop-Lock Holmes is the only MC that's steam-powered. Pass the tea, please. Pass the tea to me. Pass the tea, please. Yes, pass the tea. Oh, pass the tea to me. Pass the tea, please. Just pass the tea. Yes, pass the tea to me. And when your cup is all tapped, well, then fill it up, chap, and then pass your tea to me. That's right. Pass it on over now. Do fill it on up first. Oh, not too much sugar. No cream. Black. Thank you. Black is nice. There we go. Verse 2. When it comes to pop locking, I'm the pop locking. It's my lyrical pool. It's bottomless. I'm top of this. I do it with style and finesse. The top hat when I drop that beat, that's a progress. And who do you think led Columbus? It was me and Ed Zeppelin. I now own the U.S. Taking it over with steam-powered beats. Urban expedition and improbable feats. Chap-hop rhyme ships powered by steam. So now you trust why you must pass the tea. Pass the tea, please. Pass the tea to me. Pass the tea, please. Yes, pass the tea. Oh, pass the tea to me. Pass the tea, please. Just pass the tea. Oh, pass the tea to me. And when your cup is all tapped, well, then fill it up, chap, and then pass your tea to me.
All right.
Loved it.
Loved
Whoa,
it.
Whoa, that is one crazy
yes.
mad flutist.
There you go.
I can dig that.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I have to share this with you guys because it's really kind of a fun story of when I actually met Pop-Lock. It was Wawa WestCon 2, and I was a volunteering with security department that year.
Wawa
WestCon out here in Tucson.
Okay.
Our security office was, you know, we had one of the buildings set aside for security office, and they had Pop-Lock stationed right on our front porch. So whenever I had to pull my 2 hour duty time in the office, I got to sit back there and just listen. And I was actually starting to sing the songs because for some reason he only had 5 songs. At the time,
I only had one song when they booked me. So.
I wound up sitting there in the office singing along to this guy who I hadn't even spoken to yet. And, you know, and then I wound up talking to him, and well, the rest, as I say, is history.
5 songs and 1 when you got the gig. I know what that's like.
Yeah.
Necessity is a mother.
It is a mother. And it's like, you said it. It's like, in fact, when I first, the way I first met Colin Kelly here was he saw me play some, my husband and I doing a duo of the B-sides of Jazz Standards. And, you know, we just learned 3 songs to do an open mic so I could find a guitar player because I didn't want to work with my husband. I thought that would be the kiss of death to the marriage. So, somebody said, oh, do one more. I said, that's all we know, the 3 songs, that's all we know. And then the first time we got a whole gig somewhere, it was at a Borders bookstore, and we had 2 hours to fill, so we thought, well, we've got enough for 1 set, and the people will be gone by then, and we'll just do it all over again.
Exactly.
They just sat there. But I think they had just gotten off work and were tired, so they just sat through it again, so all the people. But still, yeah, I feel you. I feel that pain there. What is chap hop? Did you coin that term?
No, I'm the 3rd most popular hip hop artist, chap hop artist in the world. There are actually 3 of us all together. The first 2 biggest of the 3, Professor Elemental and Mr. B, are UK residents. And it was them coming over here. I had 1 song out, and then I saw they were booking them. I was like, wait a second, they're bringing these guys all the way over here. Then my little 1 song, and I decided to look up just what Pop-Lock Holmes had become, and I had been listed as one of the purveyors of chap hop. Here I am alongside these guys. So I said, okay, it's time to crank out some tunes and get on the stage with this. And here I am now 15 songs later, 30 shows in the belt, and ready to start the next album.
I can tell you, I've already posted one of your videos on Facebook, and I bought some songs today, and I highly recommend you guys. And I think I've got, I think I've got another boomerang expatriate on the line here. Mitzi, is that you?
Sure is, Miss Jennifer.
Mitzi Zaretto. And her
How's it going?
Her partner, Teddy Tedaloo. Say hello to the gang. Say hello to Mitzi, everybody.
Hi.
Hello, Mitzi.
Hello, Mitzi.
Hey. Hi. Teddy sends a hi paw as well.
Oh, good. Her old buddy Pet. And you know Colin Kelly and...
Yes, I only just now tuned in, and my internet connection's so bad, I didn't get most of what was going on.
Oh, that's okay. We're about to get to the real good, we're about to get to the political stories, and then some kind of a rat starting a stampede story that Becky brought in. But first, you come right in the time. I've got to tell you about something. I've got a couple of really cool people who have stepped up to sponsor Madame Perry Salon, and I want to talk to you about them right now. No, this is not. I'm not trying to get you into a multi-level marketing thing. Don't worry. But how many people here like to go camping? Hello.
I used to.
No.
Does that answer your question?
Camping.
The last time I camped was out in front of the Apple Store for a release. Yeah, I don't have an inner nerd. She's just kind of hanging out for everybody to see.
Okay. So nothing to do with camping or anything like that. Mitzi?
I stayed at a Super 8 one time. That's a lot like camping.
Well, that's bad. You should have
just probably more than camping.
I am the camping king, I must say.
Really?
Oh,
ooh.
Yeah.
Why didn't you speak up?
Your Highness.
Yes.
I think he might be a touching master, too, because I've seen how he packs up his little Prius.
Oh, well, I got to tell you, I didn't. My parents, my family never camped until I was in fifth grade, and a fifth grade teacher wanted to bring the entire class on a camping trip. So we went on one, and my parents got real gung ho on camping at that time, which I loathed, because to me it was just nasty and sweaty and being stuck with my brothers in the car. And my mother, I got to tell you this story. And my mother, even though she had dark hair from her Cherokee side, she was as pale as me. And so we're out on the beach in Florida. Now, yeah, and camping in Florida with sand and all that yucky stuff, and then with some kind of suntan lotion, because me being a natural redhead, you know, I just fried out there. So with the lotion and the sand, I feel like some kind of like little breaded thing about ready to throw to the fryer. But there were some women nearby who had really dark tans. And I think they were from somewhere in New York or somewhere. And my mother asked them, "What do you use to get such dark tans?" And they told her, "Motor oil." So she goes and buy some motor oil. I don't know if it was 20 or 30 weight, but I know that she got some motor oil. And she gets out there on the beach, puts it all over her legs, her arms, everything, and lays out for a while. Just her. Then she gets in the water. It's like Captain Hazelwood and the Exxon Valdez out there. A big slick. Birds coming down, getting caught. Small children. Oh, God. However, there is this gal, and her name is Lynn Sable, and I think she felt the same way. You know, she was kind of like, nasty, and then somehow she got into this thing called glamping, which is glamorous camping. And so she's got a book called Camping Hacks from a Diva Who Hates to Camp but Loves to Go Glamping. And she says she teaches you, and I saw that the front of the book looks like some kind of like a big tent outside with furniture, like an actual bed frame with a headboard, furniture inside. It's like you're being seduced by Laurence of Olivier in there. And she comes, she has a or James Breen, you know. So, or George Clooney. So it's got, she has a, I read through the, what do you call the thing on the front? You guys, you're all writers. Table of contents and things about how to.
I know the cover.
You know, quick things.
The acknowledgments.
Breakfast.
Copyright page.
The foreword. The foreword. Oh, Lynn Sable, I'm sure you have all those things too. You should have called in, Lynn. I told you to. So, yeah, forward, all this kind of stuff. And then Lynn Sable has a table of contents with things like a breakfast, lunch, dinner, how to make them quick, good, things, some kind of special recipe she has for bugs, getting rid of bugs, how to make it all fancy, how to handle your private business in a private way. So it's called Camping Hacks. From a diva who hates to camp but loves to go glamping, by Lynn Sable, and it's on Amazon. And I'm
that's a long title.
It is a long title, isn't it?
Well, I remember seeing an episode of The Only Way Is Essex, and they went glamping, and they still had to dig a hole in the ground to use as a toilet. So, no, thank you.
Okay, so Lynn Sable, you'll have to come on sometime and really tell us about that. You'll have a hard time. You'll have to really work to talk us into it, but I think that you've got a gorgeous book and some great ideas in there. And also, Jim Witz. Can we all say this together? The Jim Witz.
Jim Witz.
The Jim Witz, right.
Witz.
G-Y-M-W-I-T-S. The Jim Witz are a couple of guys who apparently were friends from the time they were in school, 15 years old. A guy named Ryan George, Justin Guild, and they've got a podcast and they've got a website. And what they do is they tell you all about fitness from the mainstream to the obscure. I don't know what obscure means. I went and checked some of their videos. It says they have a unique, lighthearted, and informative approach to health and fitness, engaging discussions, reviews, interviews with interesting guests. They have something for everyone. What I like is that they have, they have videos because, you know, I started doing CrossFit last August. Yeah, she should see me do my renegade rows with 35-pound weights. I'm a hell of a man. But I know. They want to provide their listeners with a wide variety of information related to health, fitness, and nutrition, convey fitness in a way that's both in-depth and easy to digest, sifting through all the misinformation. You know, like now the latest thing about misinformation is crunches are bad or whatever, gimmicks, nonsense, and I have the listeners engaged too. So I'll have more about them on the web on my Madame Perry Salon page, and we'll be tweeting about them. They are also at the Jim Witz. You'll see them on Madame Perry Salon Twitter.
Well, that's inventive, a comedy fitness routine. I'd say that's pretty inventive.
Comedy fitness. I don't know if it's a comedy review. Excuse me, guys. I have a phone call. Can you hold on? This is not even part of the script. Okay.
I thought that was a cash register.
Hey, I know. I wish. Hello, this is Jennifer. No, this is actually Madame Perry Salon. I'm in the middle of a radio show right now. That's all right. Anything you want to say to the people on the air out? Well, they can't really hear you right now. They can only hear me talking to you.
Hello, wrong number. How are you?
Well, everybody says hello, I think.
Hi,
like
wrong
that.
Number.
And how is mother? Okay, good. All right. Well, my mother just had her shoulder replaced, y'all, and my brother's at the hospital, and that's what she gets for beating the shit out of me all my life. So she has to have her replaced too bad. Anyway, okay, Scott.
All coming out now.
Goodbye,
Ronda.
I love you.
Bye.
Was that you know, I had a lady from India call me yesterday about saying something's wrong with my computer. Was that the same woman?
Oh, you can have so much fun with those guys. My husband and I have actually got them to hang up on us.
Oh, you know what you should do? Go to Bunny Goodjohn. You know, Bunny Goodjohn, the poet, the author, and she's one of my clients, and you see me post her on Facebook a lot. But go to her website, bagoodjohn.com. She went on this long correspondence with a catfish one time. But what she would do is change her English around to match his English to get him as confused as her. And then she could even tell that they changed off at one point. It was a different person. But go to her website and read the stories at bagoodjohn.com of her, just her, because she would post these, her messages and disguise messages back and forth for all of us on Facebook. And we would just laugh. Like, you've got to log these for us all. So go check it out.
Oh, yeah, sounds great.
You can't even make stuff up, usually. It's just...
All right. And before we get to our hatchet jobs on celebrities, Mitzi, what are you hustling these days?
Well,
what's
honey,
your latest?
I'm hustling my new book, which isn't out yet, but we're getting there. Rotten Peaches, The Thelonious Tea Bear Chronicles, should be out in about early September, possibly a little bit earlier.
Okay. And this
and
is
that's a co-written book with Teddy. Teddy Tetelu is my co-author on that.
Okay. And this is a follow-up to Normal for Norfolk, or is just a...
Correct, yes. It's about Thelonious Tea Bear, the earth sign photojournalist from England.
All right. Where you lived for a long time, and now I know I can't tell where you are because it's that government thing, but...
Right. what government thing? Somebody after me?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm
sorry. Well, they were talking about your court date earlier.
Oh.
I said,
I thought I got out of that thing.
Anybody who was late couldn't get out of court in time. So,
I didn't know it was illegal to hire hitmen. I thought that was okay in America. I'm sorry.
I didn't know it was illegal to bring in unattended children from this cul-de-sac to do work for me here in the house, okay? I mean, they weren't doing anything else. So,
yeah, exactly. Give them something worthwhile to contribute.
Yeah, let them burn a
skill. Training.
They're in my basement now. They're just as cute as they could be. But I'll make a picture sometime for you. They're just adorable. And they can handle it. Now some of that sewing machine is getting some use. But just to let you know, Mitzi, run down the list of who's here right now, because I don't think you've seen everyone here. It's Becky Kyle, Colin Kelly, Robert Leland Taylor, Poplock Holmes, James Green, a.k.a. DJ Dark Wing, Dark Fang, Dark Nut, something like that. Dark Fang.
It's
because you're so much fun, James. You're just so much fun. Well, you are. And he has a steampunk radio station called Dreadnought Radio.
Oh.
Ooh, that sounds interesting. Steampunk radio, that's a new one.
Yeah, and you should have heard, I played a song by our guest Poplock Holmes. He's a chap hop performer and writer. I played Pass It To You earlier, but you can, I've been putting his on Facebook.
Hey, Jennifer, did you happen to get his song Carousel in those songs you grabbed?
The ones I bought today were Steam, I think Hunting Monsters.
Monster Hunters.
Pass the Tea, and... there was
and
one
I just sent you via the emails my newest track, Hunt or Be Hunted.
Ooh.
Oh, okay. Is from.
Okay, and the
I don't even have that one.
Oh,
wow, thank you. I sometimes do shows that are just mostly music called The Little Night Music with Madam Perry. Can I play it on there?
Yes, you may, over and over again.
Okay, good. I want to make sure I have permission.
Yeah.
So that way... I want you to know. Somebody? Okay, here's what I want to know. Guys.
Listen.
Talk it to us.
Okay.
Yes.
Sometimes I've had little glitches where I've been gone for 10 minutes. I had a show where I was off the air for 10 minutes, and the two guests never missed me because they were filling the air. remember the Twilight Zone episode? And it had a young couple, they weren't a couple, young guy, young man and woman. The woman was played by Donna Douglas, beautiful Donna
Ellie
Douglas.
Mae.
Yes, and they were in a hospital having to have some plastic surgery to make
right,
them look.
Right, I remember that.
Oh, okay.
Does everybody know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Everybody had to
I think
look
so.
Like the leader, the country's leader, everybody had to be.
Is that the one where everyone had a little bit of it, like a pig nose?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right. So if it's true, what I've heard, and first of all, let me say this. If everyone here has different political opinions, affiliations, whatever, I don't care. I'm a live and let groove, and I'm a person, and I'm an equal opportunity offender. But.
There we go.
You know, so let's just all have fun. If, as I say, Donald Trump keeps getting more and more popular,
I know where this is going here.
You know where this is going. Do you think the same thing could happen that was happening to them in this Twilight Zone episode, that we will all be forced to wear
the hair?
Have to wear a fold over? I mean, for God's sake, you see his son on The Apprentice show. He looks like a little freak with his little hair slicked back, like some kind of Mexican drug lord. Well, you know he's never even wiped his own ass in his life.
No, that was my job.
Oh, okay.
Oh. Did it pay
anyone?
Well? That's the question.
$20 an hour.
Okay. Oh, that's nice. Anybody got any speculations, predictions?
Well, he's got a
I think he'll fade shortly. They haven't really had a good poll since his latest comments about McCain. Probably about a week or so.
He has a double digit lead over everybody else in the clown car, the GOP clown car. Even after
right
McCain,
now, yeah.
Yeah. So that doesn't seem to have worked because nobody likes John McCain either.
Probably going to be him versus Hillary.
I live in Arizona. Yeah, I live in Arizona. I know, but yeah. You don't have to tell me about McCain.
You got some history there? You got a little something you want to tell us about? A little dirt?
Impressed with him. I'm just not impressed with him. He's not
neither is the country, or they would have elected him. So,
he'll
fade out. It's probably going to be Jeb, or it's going to be if the Koch brothers are.
Jeb, with the exclamation point.
Or it'll be Scott Walker because the Koch brothers are funneling millions and millions of dollars into his campaign.
I don't know how someone can name their kid Jeb.
unless you live in a trailer or something.
I don't know.
It's that Texas thing. But, you know,
and they're not even from Texas.
All the people, that's the funny part. But of all the people, you know, that I've seen that have been talking about running, honestly, the only one I would even think about voting for would be Sanders, honestly. But I've, you know, researched his track record, you know, in Congress. And so, I mean, he actually stands by the things he says. He's, you know, even when he's, you know, obviously not going to win, he still sticks by his guns, and I can appreciate that.
I'm supporting Bernie Sanders until I can't support him anymore, and I have to vote for Hillary. So yeah, that's my thought too. Although Bernie's doing, they just had that event in Dallas where they had to move to a venue because they thought there was only going to be 5,000 people there, and there was like 10. So he keeps drawing these huge crowds.
Huge
crowds. So I think he's gonna get extended, and I really, really can't wait to see him and Hillary debate because he's going to absolutely blow her away. And that's
Now, what I think would be a good combo, though, would be Sanders and Hillary because economically, Hillary is smart as a whip when it comes to economics. Those nice little things, you know, that Bill put into effect, a lot of those came from her.
Right.
The woman is smart.
Mm-hmm. Yes, she is.
But women are better money managers than men anyway.
Well, I've been saying that for years. I've been saying the best thing for this country really would be just your average middle class American housewife in the Oval Office. Economically,
except for the one in Alaska.
Oh yeah,
well,
yeah.
We don't want that one.
But she wasn't really middle class. So I'm talking middle class. I'm talking someone in the $50,000 to $65,000 a year earning range. Because that's a woman who knows how to handle a damn budget. You take that housewife. Her, the husband, three kids, the 2.5 dogs. And I'm going to show you someone who knows how to budget money.
Mm-hmm. Which is great, but then you had to figure out, you know, is she pro-choice? Does she like the gays? Does she, you know, I mean, you know, it, that's a lovely thought, you know, but you know, everybody gets picked apart for whatever it is they believe, you know.
Well, yeah.
So,
so be it, you know, but I'm talking just economically right now. Economically, that would be our best choice.
The great
because
thing is
our
Bernie,
economic
Bernie,
situation is horrible.
Bernie Sanders, as far as I can tell, has a solid record. There's nothing that they can come back to him on about his voting record. He doesn't have any scandals.
Exactly.
He doesn't have any scandals that we know about. You know,
and he's not taking money. He's not really taking money from big corporations.
And he's not taking money. So he's about as clean a candidate as you could possibly get. You know, Hillary's got a ton of baggage, you know, and that doesn't even include Bill, you know, which is his own set of baggage, you know.
Right. Well, that's another thing with another reason Hillary would make a great vice for Sanders. Pure and simple. All right, she was first lady. She was Secretary of State. You know, so all these world leaders already know her.
Right.
They're already familiar with her. So it wouldn't be it would make transition on that aspect, you know, on the political aspect very easy as well.
I don't think she would take vice president. I think this is an all or nothing for her. You know, because the vice president, what does the vice president do? I mean, seriously. I mean, he's got a nice little office and, you know, he gets to, you know, they get to go and shoot off their mouth at some memorials and openings and things like
they
that. You know,
they still have a lot of say in, you know, policy matters, though. I mean, the vice president isn't, you know, if you look at every vice president really we've ever had, they've all been phenomenal politicians. They've all, you know, known the job. I mean, as much as I hate to admit it, even, you know, well, Bush Sr. actually wasn't bad. I mean, he was not.
I don't remember a vice president doing anything
bad
since Al Gore.
Yeah, we don't need to count shooting people, though.
Yeah. Well, when you shoot somebody, when you shoot an attorney in the face and the attorney apologizes, you know you are a total badass.
Right. Well, Cheney was running the country, though. I mean, you know.
Yeah,
he wasn't,
this is true.
He was the vice president, but he appeared to be, and I'm still convinced that during most of the, you know, the W years, is that he was actually our commander in chief, and you can see what the combination of them, you know, has done.
Totally agree with you.
So, you know, but I don't know. I mean, I just don't think Hillary would. I think Hillary's taken the back seat now. You know, and I just don't think she'd do it. I think if somehow Bernie were to pull ahead, you know, and get the nomination, I don't think she would. I don't think she'd be his vice president. I'm not even sure if he'd ask her. I don't know who he'd ask, but I mean,
yeah.
You know,
I think if Hillary loses the nomination again, I think she'll never, you know, go for it again. That would be her.
No, I think it'll be game over for her. As far as politics go, I think she'll retire.
Yeah, she'll start doing the writing and the book signings and the book tours and all that stuff.
If I could put her on the Supreme Court, she'd make a great Supreme Court justice.
Yeah, she would.
So, but that, to be perfectly honest, the thing that I am most worried about is, among all the other things I'm worried about, is the Supreme Court. I mean, those people, the average age up there is death. So we need to get, you know, somebody else in who's going to get the court situated so we don't, you know, because we don't need another Thomas and we don't need another, you know.
We don't need a corporate court, basically.
Right, yeah. Well, we don't need anybody frothing at the mouth like Alito and, you know, I mean, you know, so.
There's a lot that needs to be done in this country. I mean, I think one of the biggest mistakes the founding fathers ever made was not limiting congressional and senatorial terms.
Agreed.
Well, I agree.
There are people sitting in Congress still that have been sitting there since the year I was born, and that was 73.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that just opens the door for corruption. You know,
yeah.
I mean, they need to limit it, you know, just like they do the president 2 terms. And they still stagger the elections. You know, so you have the presidential election. 2 years later, you have congressional, senatorial, then presidential. You know, you keep alternating them, yeah. But they need to be, you know, stuck at, you know, 2 terms.
And the other thing is they should not be allowed to run for public office, a higher office, and keep their old office.
Right.
You know, if they're if they're running for president, the senators, the congressmen, the governors, et cetera,
should
resign their current office because they're not serving their district at that point. They're not serving their constituents at all.
Right. And I also don't think they should be able to take campaign contributions from big corporations and that they should put a cap on the
amount. Oh, you're really dreaming there.
I know, but, you know, I mean, really, if you want to get corruption out of the government, it's the only way to do it.
Yeah, I know, but the people who
I mean,
do something about it, otherwise,
had a lot
like
of
the
respect.
System.
The first year I was able to vote was when Ross Perot was running. And I had a lot of respect for him because he financed his own campaign out of his own pocket. He didn't take contributions from anyone.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
well,
and I mean that.
Another thing I think we should go to is that we should, you know, we should go to the British style system of campaigning, which is, you know, they only, you know, for prime ministers, they only allow, they only start the campaign trail 6 weeks before the actual election. We should limit that here as well.
Oh,
I mean,
public funding, an open party system instead of a two party system. If you want to be an independent, you have to get a petition signed in every one of the states where you want to be on the ballot.
Right. I mean, we're still more than a year out now from the election, and it's like, you know, we're going to be hearing about Donald Trump and all of this, all of these people for, you know, for another year and a, you know, year and a, and some change now. I mean, the fact that we that they are allowed to do this and we have to suffer through it.
Yeah.
That should be abolished immediately. 6 weeks is plenty of time, or a few months, you know, to run the campaign.
Yeah.
You know,
actually, we
have
a British.
How we
have a British citizen here on the panel tonight, don't we?
Yeah, but I haven't voted there.
Well, I'm glad Ross Perot didn't win.
And the way it is right now over there, I wouldn't even take credit for having voted.
I could never see Ross Perot receiving the Queen of England. Sit down, Queen.
She just get in the Nazi salute and move along. So.
All right.
Yeah. What happened to the good old days when the queen or the king had absolute power? They made, you know, nope, this is wrong. You're wrong. You're done. Forget it. Done. Easy. Simple. But now we had to complicate it with lawyers.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, I've got an idea. Why don't we put up our own candidate, steampunk candidate, Poplock? Poplock Holmes.
Hmm. Well, Teddy says that animals should run things.
Well,
I think he's quite right on that.
Could you see the inaugural ball? You'd have Abney Park. Cog is dead.
The cosplay would be rich.
How do you see all the stiff shirt congressmen and whatnot looking at me like, what the hell?
I want to go.
All right,
maybe in
100 years
we'll get back to a robot or something, you know. That would be pretty cool.
That would go put Skynet in charge.
Put who in charge?
Skynet.
Put Skynet in charge.
Well, you know, they actually had a robot that passed the intelligence test.
Yeah, the self-awareness test.
The self-aware, yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
Yes, we will
can't be any worse.
Robot overlords.
I got to mention out too with the Jim Witz guys. See, I if we're going to run, you're saying where's the segue? If we're going to run for something, if we're going to run from something, we need to be in shape. And the Jim Witz will. You just got to go listen to their podcast or go to their website. So they have the videos. On their website too, they will have engaging discussions, reviews. They'll talk to guests, and maybe they'll have one of you guys on there talking.
Yeah,
about
I should
fitness.
Talk to them about what to do to get reintegrate myself after my foot comes out of this shoe.
I think it's a good idea. You know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know.
I can talk disc golf with them. I mean.
Wait till summer's over. It's too hot to do anything.
You know.
It's 105 degrees here in Tucson by like 10 o'clock in the morning, and I've been out playing disc golf every day. This is not too hot.
Oh, I don't leave the house unless I have to. And I can't take the sun either. I need to go back to my castle in Transylvania.
It's a dry heat in Arizona.
Only come out in the dark.
Well, yeah. Now, I will admit, I do pretty much run into the AC, but, you know, that's another story.
Hey, you know what? Becky, you're in Knoxville, right?
Mm-hmm.
And have you been to Transylvania? I haven't
been
there yet. It's in, I think it's near Hendersonville, not too far from Asheville, North Carolina.
Oh, I've been through there.
Transylvania. Have you? And we also know the Bat Cave.
Transylvania
is,
County. I think it's a county.
Yeah, Transylvania
County.
Nice.
Is it a county or is it a town? I know I went there.
It's a county. It's a county. Transylvania County. Because that newspaper is called the Transylvania Times. They have, and of course, you know, if you're on Highway 26, exit 49A and B goes to where? Bat Cave. It says Bat Cave.
Bat Cave, yeah. And then I think you keep going, you get to Brevard, is it?
Yeah. And
yeah,
where,
that's really nice around there, actually.
And where I'm living out there now is an area called Mars Hill. It's a college town from Mars Hill University. And if you go out in 1923, it's a couple of exits past Jupiter. It's Jupiter to Mars Hill. Just thought I'd butt in with that. But keep on going with the interesting stuff, guys, okay? I think we should have Oprah for president because everybody would get a new car.
I like that.
But I still want to work on a steampunk candidate. I think we could run something, at least have a pleasant distraction from all the mudslinging.
Well, it's not like we don't have
How about a zombie candidate?
Oh, hey.
Eliminate the mudslinging, it would be pretty boring.
Well,
at least you know the debates would be short.
Well, let's see here. Now,
well, you know, the cool thing about zombies is they follow economic downturns. That's when they get popular in films and literature. Still trying to figure out why.
Well, I have a zombie book will be out too, but I don't know if that has anything to do with the economic downturn. It's more to my publisher's schedule.
Yeah, but their taxes would eat you alive.
Oh.
What's that weird noise?
Somebody tasered someone?
Somebody just drop off?
Is somebody using something peculiar?
Hold on,
I don't
who's
know.
Bringing home Bob?
Robert, what are you doing?
What am I doing?
Robert.
Yeah, well, it has to be you.
I dropped the telephone. Why was there
Robert,
noise?
Robert, are you still here? Somebody dropped off. Was it Poplock?
Can you hear me?
Are you there?
I'm here.
Can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
Are you Poplock?
No. I'm Robert.
Robert, then I think Poplock left. Maybe it's a political thing. Maybe he felt the pressure of going into politics.
Maybe he's a loo.
Maybe it was something I said.
No. I think they just took him away in an ambulance. I'm not sure. I don't know.
That's what happened in the last show.
I understand they're in those sleeveless jackets, but, you know, Robert would have to tell you about that one.
Oh, God.
Sure, I can tell you all about that. I all this time I thought you were saying potluck.
Is somebody hungry?
Swedish meatballs and the little cheese cubes.
Because I kept thinking, what the hell is she talking about? What the hell is she talking about? But I was afraid to ask because I didn't want to seem out of it. You know?
Yeah, my husband says the same thing. So now you know what we're talking about? Pop, lock, cold?
Yes. Yes, it's all coming clear now.
Okay, good.
I understand.
All right.
Yes.
We need some eerie music in the background.
We're about to wind down, too. I hope it wasn't something I said that offended him. I hope he just had to. Because
well,
I'm
getting tired of Abney Park, so I have something new to listen to.
Yeah, too. So, yeah, so we'll all go and buy everyone's book tonight. And
ka-ching.
We'll go over.
Yeah, buy Tales from the Frontlines. It really goes to a good cause, and there's some excellent authors in there.
All right. Tales from the Frontlines.
Tales from the Frontlines.
Right. Kevin J. Anderson and Dorana Durgan, just to name a few.
Okay. I have a question from David Hurley for Pop Lock Holmes, but he's gone.
Can answer it for him.
Okay. David Hurley said, love that opening riff. And I love that song. Is he familiar with MC Front a lot, the nutty nerdcore rapper? Also, does he have an album? I'm interested. Well, I'll answer. The album is called Run DM Steam. And as far as does he know MC Front a lot, the nerdy nerdcore rapper, I don't know.
He mentioned him when he was talking a little while ago.
Oh.
So I would guess he does.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, David Hurley, thanks for sending in that question. And do you all know David Hurley here?
Yes.
I'm not sure.
That name is really
the name. I know the name. I think so.
Well, you
I haven't
know
taken my medication. I'm not sure.
Not a clue, but
his latest book is Sharon Tate, The Daughters of Joy, and he very kindly asked me to write a blurb for the back of it. So, I'm so dumb. I thought he was asking me to find somebody smart to write one, and I kept saying I still can't find anybody. So. I know a lot of smart people.
You can fake it. You can fake it.
Apparently, I did because it is on there. So, I've been asking people for. You want me to read it to you?
Sure, why not?
To write blurbs for my book, and all I can get from anybody is things like I picked it up. It weighs about a pound and a half, or something like that. So.
Blurbs are hard to get in the summer, I'll tell you that from experience.
Oh, really?
I have.
Why is that?
People disappear or they're just not wanting to bother, you know, they're kind of taking time off if they can. I don't know who these people are that take time off. I don't know anything about taking time off.
Yeah, for real, me neither. So,
three of my favorite authors are blurbing my book.
Nice. I haven't even asked Colin because I know he does he's real careful about his public persona, even though he's my friend.
I'm getting Harper.
He doesn't
want to
be associated with you.
You're getting Harper. Okay, you want
to. I'm getting Harper Lee to blur my next book.
All right, so here's what I wrote on. Here's the blurb that I wrote for Sharon Tate and the Daughters of Joy. I felt like Scrooge being led by the specters. The changing of the guides, the scenes of time and place, the mix of poetry and prose. Hurley paints using whatever he deems necessary, literature, history, science, art, nature, masterfully balancing the vile and the debauched with the beautiful. It's a work of blinding brilliance.
Oh, that's very good.
Wow.
Very nice.
Thank you. Colin wrote
nice.
For me. Okay, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So,
you don't have a heavy British accent. It sounds rather Americanized.
Me?
Yes.
Oh, well, actually, I'm from America originally, so that's why I'm sort of saddled with this Yank accent that doesn't ever go away.
I get it.
Teddy sounds more British than I do.
Yeah, we'll have to get him his own mic next time. All right, well, folks, we only got a few minutes left, so we wanted to go down and everybody pitch their latest thing to folks still listening and see what we got. We got Becky, Colin, holler at your stuff.
Tales from the Frontlines. It goes to a very good cause.
All right. That's dogs for to help the wounded warriors. Colin Kelly? Mm-hmm.
And it's T-A-I-L-S, actually.
T-A-I-L-S, okay. Kelly?
The Conquered by Novel, the first two books of the Venus Trilogy, Conquering Venus and Remain in Light, are out now from Sibling Rivalry Press. And the third book in the trilogy will be out in March of next year. And you can buy those anywhere books or e-books are sold.
Yay.
All right. Thank you, Colin Kelly. And believe me, he's good. He's damn good. Robert Leland Taylor, smack it out there.
Only, Holy Toledo and the Virgin Shirley, a comedy about the end of the world as we know it.
Just a name
alone.
And I
feel fine.
Okay. All right. Next up, James Breen, what's going on in your world that you want us to tell about? Tell us when to listen to your show and what goes on with it. And
you can tune into us any time of day, any day of the week, because we are always on air, always playing, you know, steampunk music. We also syndicate several podcasts, particularly my favorite, the League of Steam Geek podcast, and we've also been doing some stuff with John Strangeway and Ratchet Retrocast. You can get into us, you know, anytime at dreadnoughtradio.com. And feel free, drop in, tune in, leave us a message. You know, you never know what we might do. Find our Facebook page. We do contests and giveaways all the time. So, you know, you got to kind of watch for that stuff. We got some nice autographed CDs going up here pretty soon.
Excellent.
Ooh, I like that. Including Pop Lock. Including
Pop Lock. We love you, Pop Lock Holmes. Come back and see us. Come bring your chat pod back up here. Mitzi Zaretto and Teddy Tedaloo. Thelonious
right.
Tea Bear.
Well, next book coming out, Rotten Peaches, The Thelonious Tea Bear Chronicles, which is the second installment of The Thelonious Tea Bear Chronicles, featuring a bear photojournalist from England. Bear is in B-E-A-R. It goes to a good cause. It pays some bills and it allows us to keep donating to animal rescues.
Yay. That's what I want. All right, and I think we have one extra person that just slipped in the side door. Wants to come in and say hello. Mr. Robinson, is that you? Come hollering down from the mountain.
Yes, it is. How's everybody doing?
Fantastic.
Fine. I'm doing all right. You know Robert Leland Taylor. You've read his books.
Yes. Hey, Robert.
Hey, how are you?
Actually, I just got out of jail about an hour ago, and I still have this thing on my ankle where they monitor, but I left it in my car, so they think I'm not here. So all's good. All is good.
Now, who is this again?
Brent Robinson.
Okay,
pirate.
All right. I'm surprised they let you out.
Well,
but they let you out with the brace, right?
It was an error.
I see.
I'm sure I'll have to go back, but tonight
he's
I'm free as a bird.
He is also a sweet talker to the ladies. That's how he gets out. That's what happens.
I feel like
well,
I walked in the middle of Rectify.
Ooh. It's a long story with a short ending.
Okay, yeah. I don't even know what that is. All right. Well, folks, I'm also going to be saying, before I go, I got to say one more time, the Jim Witz podcast hosts, Ryan George and Justin Guild. Let's all say it again, the Jim Witz. All right, very good.
I just saw a bear drop dead who was on a telephone wire right outside my window. That's the damnedest thing. I was staring at him, and he just fell off and dropped dead.
Maybe you need to check his entrails and read his to see if he got a fortune in there or something.
That's kind of creepy.
Oh my
I'm
god!
Gonna go down there. I'm going to have to go down and investigate this.
Yeah, why don't you go on down there? We got about 70 seconds left, folks. Thank you all so much for being here, and shout out to our buddy Pop Lock Holmes, the Chap Hop Master, who had to leave, but and Mitzi Zaretto. Teddy Tedaloo, a.k.a. Thelonious T.
And we need to talk about glamping some more.
We need to talk about glamping, and we're going to have to come up with another show. Let's do a music show, and one of you guys come on to one of my music shows. All right, Becky Kyle.
Are you going to have the wrong number lady on again? Oh, great. She was
great. Wrong number lady. I don't know who that is, but I will tell you, I had a show recently with a guy from Liverpool, and we went round and round with me being confused. He's asked to have a CD by the band. I thought he meant the band Levon Helm. He's thinking his band. We're going back and forth. I think so. What do you mean you think so? Well, so which one was it? What do you mean which one? There's only one. No, there's plenty. And it just went around and around. But we got 22 seconds left. I am Madam Perry. Thank you for being here at Madam Perry's Salon and with my wacky gang of writers, musicians, thought leaders, comedians, painters, and general social reprobates returning. I hope you all come back. I love you all, and I'll have all the information about these folks on my Madam Perry Salon page.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Bye. Bye.